ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
There are 10 rounds to go in the NBL season, and just 4 wins separate last spot and the top 6. It has been a tremendous campaign. A lot of big names into the league, new broadcasting deal as well. And I'd like to think a reason behind that is the CEO, David Stephenson, because success seems to follow him everywhere. He was the CEO of the Western Bulldogs as part of their 16 premiership campaign in the AFL. He was the former AFL GM of operations, got them out of COVID, and now taking over the hoops game. He's the NBL CEO, and it's been a big couple of years for him as he continues to find ways to innovate. He's been good enough to jump on the line and have a chat to me today. David, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me on, Aaron. Really appreciate your kind words and warm welcome.
Do you feel like it is the best NBL season on record? We've got star power everywhere. The crowds have been really strong and the games have been tremendous.
Yeah, we've definitely gone through a bit of reflection as we get to the halfway point of the season. And to see those superstars, whether they be, you know, local Australians, the imports, legends of the game like Bryce, no doubt we'll talk about. And then plenty of close games and some of those memorable moments. We do absolutely think that the metrics are showing it's the best season ever.
How are you finding the streaming numbers these days with the new deal with Disney?
Yeah, they've been fantastic. We're up over 30% of our growth in our broadcast, both across Disney Plus, ESPN, Foxtel, as well as Channel 10. And that's really opened up a whole lot of new audiences to us, particularly those families that are really important. So I think this is coming into our most important broadcast period over the Christmas break, and we can't wait for that momentum to continue.
It is absolutely the new world as well. I'll admit I was a little bit sceptical kind of moving the league behind a paywall largely. I know you have the Channel 10 games on Sunday, but as you've just said, it's been an excellent result, and I think maybe a lot of other leagues will now see, look, streaming does have a giant audience that you can utilize, and maybe you get the best of both worlds by navigating free-to-air and something, you know, online.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you look at now the monthly subscribers between Disney Plus, ESPN on Fox, KO and Binge, you're now over 6 million monthly subscribers, which is actually much bigger than a free-to-air audience. So the dynamic of the broadcast environment has changed a lot, and we've got to make sure that we continue to make it accessible for as many people as possible.
The one thing I love about the NBL, I mean, I love a lot of things, but what I've loved recently is just the year-on-year growth and how you're kind of always looking to innovate. That there's a new kind of idea every single season, whether it was Hoops Fest last campaign. And this year's been the Ignite Cup, which again is such a big gamble to really bank on Wednesday nights and make sure you can draw crowds in what probably was more of a TV product. But to have an in-season tournament for $300,000, you still, you know, all the results still matter in terms of the campaign. Has it worked, David?
Yeah, it has overall. We're thrilled with the broadcast numbers in particular have been good. The attendance numbers vary a little bit by state. So in Adelaide, where I think you've seen the fantastic growth of the 36ers, you know, selling out big audiences, that's been a huge success. In some of our markets, they've taken games to regional locations, and that's been interesting. We know that Wednesday nights are sometimes a little harder for families to get to from an attendance, so we really have seen good growth across all of those metrics, and most importantly, the basketball on court has been great. So we'll continue with that. It's been something that we've been thrilled with so far.
Another idea that I'm really keen to hear if you're hoping to continue is the inclusion of the NBA and EuroLeague sides in pre-season and early stages of the campaign. I mean, that was a tremendous success to get huge crowds in Melbourne and Sydney. Is that something that we're going to see next year as well?
Yeah, it's always challenging to try and find those big teams to come out for the right timeline, for the right arrangements. We were thrilled with both of those, both NBA and EuroLeague. I'd say NBA is unlikely for next season. We're having some great conversations. They were thrilled with the way it was delivered. So, but they've got a lot of different cities around the world that they've committed games to. So we're still working with them, but probably unlikely for next season. EuroLeague, we're again having lots of good conversations with them in terms of what that looks like. Obviously, a whole lot of different teams and the schedule becomes really important. So Again, working through that, no firm commitments for next season yet.
The NBL CEO, David Stevenson, is my guest on Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport. David, I feel like every time we chat, expansion always seems to be the hot topic. And I feel like the league is very eager to eventually get to a point where we have more teams in the system. But to your credit, you've been, you know, cautiously optimistic about how you approach it to make sure that it is financially viable to do. So how close are we actually to getting some new teams in the league?
Yeah, it's been a huge amount of work, but you nailed it very clearly there. That most importantly, we want to make sure that we get a strong team to come in and they're successful. Previously, the Larry's ownership of the NBL, we've had 23 teams who have come into the league and then left because they're not financially sustainable, and that really just disappoints our fans. So we want to make sure that when we do bring new teams on, that they come in and they're strong and successful and most importantly, sustainable. And clearly the Jack Jumpers have been the benchmark as our most recent team. So we are very much engaging with our owners and clubs and governments, et cetera. The three that are most spent most time on at the moment are Gold Coast, Sydney, ACT, and we're having conversations there. The biggest inhibitor to all of those cities are actually the venues. In not many of those cities do we have a venue that's at the level and size that we need, but there's lots of good conversations that the governments are progressing. So I think if I was a betting man, then it'd be one of those three cities would be the next expansion market, but eventually we'd want to get to 13, 14, 15 teams in the not-too-distant future.
And the exciting part about those, as you touched on, is there are plans in place. So Gold Coast is going to get a new arena as part of the Olympics. Sydney, you've got the Moore Park expansion and the entertainment centre coming in there. Canberra is going to get a new venue in 2030, I think. So I think the original timeline kind of had 2026 as maybe having 12 teams, but what are you kind of looking at now in terms of a rough scale of year?
Yeah, I think next season will probably be tough to be able to have a new team in. Again, we're happy in those cities to be able to play in an older venue for potentially a year or two, but we wouldn't want to be too much further than that because we want to have a great experience for our fans. So I think that the most likely would be a year after that. I think it'd be the earliest we'd look at.
The other rogue one is maybe expanding into the rest of Asia. We're already kind of in New Zealand. Is there a possibility that maybe we could go further north, or is that more long-term pipeline?
Yeah, we'd love to be in Asia. I mean, clearly we're doing a lot of activity there. We see huge growth both in our broadcast and social media take-up. We've obviously got an Asian player rule as well that's encouraging those connections. At the moment, our FIBA preclude us from having a team from Asia, so we've got to work closely with them on what that looks like. But again, we'd love to see a path down the track where you've got teams from Asia competing in the NBL.
Great, David. The NBL CEO, David Stevenson, on Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport. David, we caught up at the Adelaide Lightning earlier in the year as part of their opener, which was a tremendous night. I've been to a few games since, and I think it's an amazing atmosphere. Like, they just get over about 2,000, but it's an excellent venue, great facilities, crowd's hot, games have been brilliant. And it just, to me, I mean, it's a small sample size, but I feel like the rebrand of the WNBL has been a massive success. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, we're incredibly proud of what's happened in the WNBL this season. We've invested a lot in partnership with the Woolamai family office as well as Basketball Australia. And that investment, both in the brand, the elevated marketing, the broadcast has been enhanced. And I think full credit to the clubs who've done a great job in elevating that game day experience, and all of the metrics are showing incredible growth. Our attendance is, last time I looked, was up 60%. Our broadcast numbers are more than doubling. And most importantly, the great games on court. So I feel good about WNBL, but we've got a long way to go.
One moment that did prick my ear that night was one of the co-owners, JP Drake, who was part of the Adelaide Lightning, had a little cheeky jab in the pregame about how, you know, enthralling the WNBL is and how it's a very good family vibe and very passionate, and kind of compared it to the AFLW, where their average crowds are kind of stagnating right now. And I guess that what I took out of that was investment pays off. And I think, you know, you've put a lot of money into the WNBL to ensure it builds itself back up again, which I think the AFL is struggling with currently right now. Can you kind of preach, I guess, to that league, the reward of investing in the women's league?
Yeah, look, having come from the AFL, I do know firsthand they have invested a lot in there. So you won't hear me have any criticisms of what they've invested in. But I think our recipe is pretty simple. It's really three things. We need great on-court players, and I think to see all of the Opals who won the bronze medal in Paris come through the WNBL has been fantastic. See Hanju from China coming to play with the Perth Lynx. Is an example of great on-court players. That's one. I think two is an elevated match day experience, and that's a really important part for those fans, as you said, to go along to those Lightning games and see firsthand this is great entertainment. And then third is the broadcast, particularly the storytelling. And I think we've generally found if you do those three things well, then the fans will vote with their feet and their eyeballs.
Don't want to stay on Adelaide too much because I know that's where my heart lies, but I had a tremendous night on Friday as part of the 36ers Melbourne United top of the table clash. But gee, there were a lot of fouls in it, 62 on the night. Michael Randall labelled it a bit of a crisis at the moment with the refereeing. We're seeing a lot more ejections and technical fouls. Five players were fouled out in that game. Is there any concern at HQ about how the officiating is going?
Yeah, look, in every league I've ever been a part of or seen, there's always healthy dialogue about officiating. So we're not immune to that. I'd personally say I think our referees do a fantastic job. But they don't get every call right. And I don't think every coach gets every sub right or every player makes every shot. So what I love so much at the moment is there's really strong dialogue between the clubs and the officiating department, and they work through those different views on calls, and again, a lot of them are quite subjective. So we'll continue to look at that closely. We've invested a lot more into full-time referees and technology, and we go through an incredible amount of stats. So I feel good about where we're at, but you never feel great because we're never going to get 100% of the calls right.
And it is a difficult thing to balance because, as you said, you want to support your officials, you want to make sure that they still want to stay in the game because it's such a tough task. But you do have teams who get frustrated, and I think the most recent one of those was the Perth Wildcats in that comeback victory for Adelaide last weekend on Sunday. Mark Arena, the owner, at that point said he actually wanted the league to release the review findings when it comes to close games and make them public. Is that the right move?
I mean, everyone's got their own opinion, so we'd respect everyone's view on that. I think at the moment, the way we do it is those reviews happen individually with clubs, and our officiating department, led by Vince Crivelli and Scott Butler, work really collaboratively with all the clubs. And often that's with coaches or GMs of basketball. And we go through those, and we're the first to be able to admit, hey, when we don't get a call right, we'll own that and work through that. But I think the vast majority of those calls are right, and that's the feedback that's supported by the statistics too.
And on the relationship with the clubs as well, a little tricky situation right now with the court battle of the Hawks in Southeast Melbourne and Larry Kesselman, and I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of all of that, but essentially Jared Novelli questioned the integrity of the league and the financial transparency of it. They're pretty serious accusations. How did you react when they came to light?
Yeah, again, having had the fortune of working in a couple of different sports, there's always a level of tension between the clubs and the league. Sometimes it's about business decisions or officiating, or it might be financial matters. That's okay, and I expect that. I do think that when clubs ask reasonable questions and we answer those questions, I think it's great. The Supreme Court made a decision that supported the approach that we've taken, and so I feel pretty comfortable with where we're at now. But we continue to engage regularly with all of the club owners and CEOs because we know the only way to be successful is if you can get the whole ecosystem working well together.
All right, let's talk about some fun things to wrap it up, David. Hoopsfest, back in Perth in January. You've got Allen Iverson out there, the answer. I'm sure you're going to go and try and meet the great man, but that's an awesome result to try and boost that festival period for the league.
Yeah, it makes such a huge difference to be able to get someone who's an NBA legend to come along And it just adds a little bit of entertainment to it. Last year, we were fortunate enough to have Carmelo Anthony and Kenny Smith. And you could see the buzz wherever they went, you know, in all of the events and with the fans and at the games. And to have those people really want to come and be a part of it. And you know, Allen Iverson's resume is pretty incredible, but his entertainment value has been off the charts. I think he's going to be a huge addition to Hoops Fest. So I encourage all the fans to head along there. It's going to be the most incredible celebration of basketball in the country's history.
Very excited to try and meet the great man. Before we let you go, David, your tip to win it all. We might have got a grand final preview on Friday night, but there's a fair few contenders. Who have you got?
I'm always conscious of this one because what it feels like is it changes so regularly. So you look at Melbourne United, who were flying early on in the season, and they've dropped a couple in a row. Perth have had some great moments. Adelaide are looking fantastic at the moment, and Southeast Melbourne have just built on the momentum of last year. So I'd say at the moment I'm probably looking at Adelaide and Melbourne United. I mean, they're the two top teams at the moment, and I think they're in the best spot to shape an incredible final series.
Does feel like the safe tip, but as you said, you never know. A couple of injuries, some form, and things dramatically change. And that's why the season has been so great. So thank you, David, for putting it on, and hopefully it continues to grow the way it has.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for your support, Aaron. Look forward to seeing you at a game again.